Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today is one verse. It comes from chapter 13, verse 23. The one thing I want to remind us of is that chapter 13, if you read through the whole thing, has eight parables in it, explaining the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven in the absence of the king. A parable, you see, is a symbolic comparison or figure of speech that clarifies or explains the truth that is not fully understood. It implies knowledge unknown from the foundation of the world, but revealed by God at the appropriate time. The church, the body of Christ, was a mystery and was unknown until it was revealed later by the Apostle Paul. These parables are not about the church, but about mysteries. Mysteries of the nature of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and in the absence of the king. Therefore, we have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that is described in the proverb read to us today. A wisdom available to all who have received Christ within their hearts this day. And deep within every human is the divine spark that, when ignited by receiving Christ, opens our hearts to deeper mysteries. Hear now from the 13th chapter of Matthew, beginning just in verse 23. The seed which fell on good ground is like the one who hears the word and understands it. He gives much grain. Some seeds give 100 times as much grain. Some give 60 times as much grain. Some gives 30 times as much grain. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts bring you all the glory. We pray these things in the name of Christ, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The name of God is so unspeakably holy to Moses and all of Abraham's family that they never even uttered the word. We dared to name it Yahweh. And even at that, we're not sure of how that really sounds. Is that the name of God? No one who heard it from God's own lips repeated it with human lips. So we guess, we translate, I am that I am, or something like that. In the proverb read today, who is this Sophia, this wisdom that claims to have been God since before everything? Here's the best that I can come up with, and since we are dealing with translation, you'll have to excuse a grammar lesson first. The Hebrew and Greek words that we translate as wisdom are feminine nouns. Most languages work that way. Nouns in Greek and Hebrew and other languages, even like German, for example, are either masculine or feminine. Doesn't mean that they're boys or girls. It just means that they are able to be translated more precisely, more carefully, more effectively, even more powerfully. The reading from Proverbs 8 attempts to speak of a power that is greater than the Jews are seeing in the foreign lands and people that surround them. And this power existed before the world was created. And this power had a name. And that name is wisdom, Sophia, as we know in the Greek now. This is not human wisdom, not even the wisdom of the elders of the tribe or a village or a family. This is a wisdom from God, God's own wisdom. In other words, the brain behind the brawn, the smarts and the wits that drove the world to explode the cosmos into being with a single utterance. What was made by God is beyond brilliant because it's God's wisdom. It's supernatural. We read that humans use about 10% of their brain power. And it's not easy for us to understand or to wrap our heads around God's wisdom that is from the Holy Spirit. For us to truly make that transition and to understand that the mysteries of God, there's another brilliant thing that God has created in us. And that is what I call the divine spark that we have within. Did you know that? Did you know that you are born with this spark within you? But it has to be awakened. Sort of like the 10 virgins that we read about with the lamps. One of them was not prepared, did not have enough oil, and couldn't turn the lamp on, but the other 9 were prepared, they could turn their lamps on. We have to turn on the lamp of our souls. And we do that when we receive Jesus Christ. The spark of life is awakened when we do that. When we are aware that we have sin in our lives, we ask for forgiveness, we commit our lives to following Jesus, then we are supernaturally awakened, and that never goes away, ever. The divine spark is like what I would call a spiritual DNA, which is now connected to God. In this parable from Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about the seed that must take root when the divine spark is connected. Once that spark happens, we now begin to understand that there's a seed that is planted in us. The seed of the wisdom of God. And that when we nourish it with prayer and reading of God's word, that seed begins to grow in us. So that's kind of the foundation of wisdom, the wisdom of God. Many times Jesus uses parables to illustrate a spiritual truth. The parable of the sower is no exception. Jesus described a farmer who went out to sow his seed, and the seed fell on various kinds of soil, pathways that he describes as either rocks, which is hard, thorns, or good soil. The soil itself, you see, determines if the seed's going to grow. Over these past 2 weeks, I've been helping my daughter put in a garden over at the parsonage. And we tilled the soil, and we put in some organic mix, and we tilled all that in, and then we put some young seedlings in to ensure that this is good soil for it to grow. Well, that, you see, is how our hearts are. Our hearts are the soil in which the Lord can sow the seed of God's word in within us. And so I want to take a look at these three kinds of seed. Let's look at the first one. The first one is the rocky soil. It struggles to take root because of hardness of heart. Whenever there is an unrepentant heart, there can be no spiritual growth. Things like forgiveness and reconciliation can't take root into our lives when we have hardness of heart. A hard heart can come from many things. It can come from anger or abuse or trauma. It can come from jealousy or hatred, or it can come from refusing to let go of things that keep us stuck in the past. The unrepentant heart damages us when that happens. We literally can't be even physically feel good when we carry that kind of anger or jealousy or whatever we're carrying within us or not letting go. So it can then cause a rift in our relationships within families and even church communities. So I ask you, have you ever experienced this in your relationships? You try and you try and you try to reconcile with someone, but that person just won't let go of whatever they're hanging on to. There's nothing you can do, really. You've tried, except perhaps pray for God to move in this person's life. And then there is the soil of, of the thorns. This is when seed struggles to take root in your heart because of overwhelming fear and anxiety and worry about the future. When our hearts are filled with these things, the spiritual seed will not grow. It gets squashed out. This causes an inability to fully engage in life and in relationships. The thorny soil is consumed with the things of this world that cause us to fear, that cause us to have anxiety, that won't allow the Spirit to give us this peace and rest that God promises us through Christ. A thorny heart, you see, finds no rest and finds no peace. And then there is the good soil. The one that is tilled and fertilized and watered with the presence of Christ, with prayer and sunshine of daily reading of God's word. A heart that is rich with this soil is able to engage in life and community fully. You see, our hearts are the soil in which the Lord sows the spiritual seed. This is the wisdom of God that connects us with that spiritual DNA I talked about. It simply is amazing how this works. So today, I want to do a little heart check. Y'all, most of y'all know that I'm a nurse. So I want to know, who's ready? Who's ready? I can hear my heart beating here. Who's ready? Yeah. So let's look at this for just a minute. What type of soil does your heart have? Is it hard? Is it rocky? Are you stuck somewhere? Is it thorny? Are you just living in fear and anxiety? Or is it soft and good and able to grow seed, nourished by the word of God? You see, good soil receives the sown seed because your heart is soft, but it is also well watered, which is the other thing that Lindsay and I were trying to figure out. She asked me, how many times a day do I have to water that little garden? Is it once a day? Is it twice a day? Two or three times a day? How much? So I was thinking about this message today, and I thought, you know, Jesus is the living water. He tells us that. And so here's how it works. You read the Bible daily, you pray, allowing the living water to saturate your soul. Now, even if you read just a little bit every day, one verse at a time every day, over the course of a lifetime, it begins to saturate your soil, your heart. And opens your heart to the love of God more and the love of others more. And God's wisdom is even more amazing. He uses the circumstances and people in our lives, the people especially, the ones who we may not get along with so well, to stimulate this spiritual growth. Sort of like a fertilizer enriches the soil. A well-watered soil promotes germination. Any farmer in here will tell you this and understand it. Pretty soon, when you practice prayer and Bible study and allowing the circumstances of your life to stimulate that growth, a little at a time, your spiritual garden begins to flow. It begins to grow. Others may take notice of that. And want to know, where do you get your peace from? Where do you find that joy? You're always so sweet and kind. Why? You've had things in your life, I know you have, but yet you remain so peaceful. If you've never received the joy of Jesus Christ in your life, I invite you to do so in prayer today. Or even if just rededicating your life to saying, Jesus, you know, I don't know all the answers, but I'm here. Simply ask. Receive any forgiveness from God Forgive others, offer it to others, and allow the weeds of worry and fear to even be there, because they just won't disappear. But when you begin to water that seed, eventually those take root, and the weeds of fear and anxiety begin to wither and die as those good plants and begin to grow in your garden, in your heart garden, so that you can fully harvest love and all of those things be choked out of your life. So may the seed of truth penetrate the good soil of our hearts so that we will harvest spiritual fruit that will grow into a mighty garden here in this community and in our homes and everywhere we go. Amen.